Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. This month, we'll be speaking with The Harbor, an organization that provides support and resources to survivors of domestic violence and coordinates prevention education and safe spaces for youth and the wider community. The Harbor is located in Astoria, Oregon, and serves residents of Clatsop County and surrounding areas. First, we will hear from The Harbor's Deputy Director, Susan Prettyman Hartill. This program mentions domestic violence and sexual assault, with a focus on survivor advocacy, resources, and prevention. We will not discuss specific situations or experiences in detail. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking, you can contact The Harbor's confidential 24-hour support line at 503-325-5735 and find out more at harbornw.org.
Hi, my name is Susan Prettyman Hartill, and I am the Deputy Director at The Harbor here in Astoria. The Harbor's goal is to provide self-determination and hope to survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And we do that through a variety of different programs. Our Advocacy Center actually does direct services with survivors. So if you're a survivor, you can walk right into our office. We'll sit down with you and we'll provide emotional support. We can help you fill out restraining orders if you need that. And we can also help you with some basic needs like clothing, rental assistance, bus passes, things like that. We have a really robust prevention program as well. We spend a lot of time working with youth, going into different schools everywhere in Clatsop County. We also go to Tongue Point Job Corps Center, and we provide prevention workshops about sex, consent, relationships, and also about digital tech abuse and abuse in the media. So when we go into a Clatsop County school, every presentation that we offer is a little bit different, and we tend to tailor them towards seniors in school, but we actually are really branching out and trying to support younger youth as well. When somebody comes and they take a sex, consent, and relationship workshop with us, they're going to learn about what dating dynamics are healthy versus which ones are, you know, a little bit more concerning. One really big part about digital tech when we do that presentation is about whether or not it's healthy and safe for you to allow your partner to track you. That's a really big deal with youth right now. Whether or not that's actually something that's safe or not is really questionable. So for youth age 13 to 17, we also have the DOC. That's our youth drop-in center. Anybody can stop in every Wednesday and Thursday from 1 to 7, and every day we have a different activity planned. So if you're a youth and you want to drop in and play board games, we have that. If you want to join our book club, we can do that too. We even do some really cool groups with Dungeons and Dragons, so kids are able to just drop in if they want and participate in that, or if they just want a safe place to hang out for the evening, that's okay too. So at The Harbor, we are available 24/7. If somebody needs support in the moment, they can call us. They can just walk into our advocacy center. We have a 24-hour crisis line. So if something happens and there's domestic violence or a sexual assault, they can just call the crisis line and we will automatically dispatch out an on-call advocate to help them. We also have a Resource Connect. So we have a chat line on our website. So you can access us anywhere, and all of our advocates are set up to answer those chats in the moment. The Harbor's address is 801 Commercial Street, and you can access our services on harbornw.org. So The Harbor has a lot of prevention projects in the works. One of our biggest ones is going to be our domestic violence support group. We used to have support groups, and unfortunately, due to staff turnover, due to funding restrictions, we weren't able to continue them, but it's actually coming back the first Monday of the month in March. So that'll be available at the dock. It's right next to the food carts, actually, in the white building behind the food carts across from City Hall. And anybody can drop in from 5 to 6 p.m. and have some structured support group support. We always have our annual Soup Bowl event, which is a really fantastic fundraiser for The Harbor, where people can buy tickets and they can come in. That'll be in September, late September. Our prevention team is actually working on other projects as well. We're working on something called the Storyteller Project that allows survivors of sexual assault to really tell their story in their own way. So we've looked at a lot of different ways that we could do that. We did one with a book club, but we're actually going to branch out into art. And we're going to work with an art studio, a local art studio, to do a series of 8 classes so that we can have survivors learn different art techniques and be able to tell their story through art. So when we have the dates available for the Storyteller Projects, survivors will be able to access that through a QR code. We haven't actually posted it just yet, but we will post it on our website and also to our social media accounts. I've been with the Harbor for just about a year, but I'm not new to social services. I actually work as the social services manager at Clatsop Community Action for almost 6 years. Working with people in need is really something that touches my heart. And I'm enjoying being able to branch out and really work with other populations in Clatsop County. Working with survivors of domestic violence has been something that I have some familiarity with, but not probably as much as others that work at the agency. So I've learned a lot from them. I've learned a lot from our executive director. And for me personally, having been a survivor of domestic violence, every time I'm able to support a survivor, it helps me on my path to healing also. So I think one really good example of the mission really would be in our prevention work. We spend so much time working with schools and so much time working in the community to talk about prevention. And prevention to me is really connection with people. Not every prevention activity that we do is going to have a survivor come to us with their story and need advocacy. Sometimes we have to visit those schools over and over again and share our message over and over again before somebody feels comfortable enough to talk to us or comfortable enough to support us. So for me, the work that we do in the schools recently has actually given us a really great success story. One of the youth that is in one of our classes actually is a member of the 4-H Leadership Club. And so they decided, because of the work we do, that they wanted to support us and sponsor us. So the 4-H Leadership Club actually sat outside of Safeway for an entire day, and they collected donations of food and also of money donations for us. So they were able to give us over 500 pounds worth of food and a $300 donation, and all of that was able to go to our shelter. We own and operate a confidential shelter for survivors, where we see typically within a year, 50 to 60 different survivors that stay with us. So all of that food that came in actually feeds all of them. So our confidential shelter, most survivors that stay there stay about 30 days. We do allow them to stay longer if they need to. We understand that there is a housing crisis in our community. So we really work hard with our survivors to come up with a safety plan that's going to work for them. A lot of that safety plan involves how they're going to move into some kind of safe, stable housing. When a survivor comes to us, we have a book. We sit with them in their room. We talk about rules and different things they can do, things that they can't do. We'll really maintain their safety, and also we'll maintain the confidentiality of our shelter. One of the first things we do is we have an advocate meet with them. Not always on the first day, but the second or the third day, once they feel that they're a little more comfortable in their surroundings. And we talk about what housing supports they need. We talk about whether they need support in accessing a job. Do they need childcare? Do they need mental health supports? And then we talk about what community partners we know can actually support them in that. And a lot of times it is, we need deposit assistance to move into something, but we don't have $5,000 to move somewhere. Or, I'm experiencing domestic violence, but my 7-year-old was also abused and they need mental health support and we can't find anything available for a child. Every survivor that we work with is just a little bit different, so we have to tailor how we work with them. For the most part, any survivor that stays with us treats our shelter like home. Every person has their own room and they have their own door so that they feel secure and safe. Survivors also do receive food. We have a great partnership with the regional food bank in Warrenton, so we're able to purchase food for them. And we also have different toiletries and personal care items if they need that. If we have a survivor who has a baby, we'll provide them with diapers if they need that. We'll provide them with the support that they need in order to get back on their feet and work with them to give them a hand up, not a hand out. So if somebody was interested in supporting the work that the Harbor does. There's a lot of different options that they could do. If you visit our website, there's actually a monthly giving option. You can also give a one-time donation on our website as well, or you're welcome to mail us a check. And we do also have a lot of volunteer opportunities. Our annual Soup Bowl event typically takes about 30 to 35 volunteers. So there's something for everybody there. Just overall, I guess I would say donations of items. If you're a survivor and you've experienced sexual assault and you're going for a SANE exam at a hospital, they'll take all of your clothing for evidence. So survivors don't leave the hospital with anything. So just a donation of socks or underwear, comfortable clothing, leggings, those are all things that survivors desperately need. But I would say that the biggest way that people can support us is just by trying to help us end the stigma of being a survivor of domestic violence. I think that there's a lot of shame that surrounds it. And I think the more that we talk about the fact that domestic violence affects everybody, not just the survivor, it affects everybody within our community, that's the first step to preventing domestic violence. If you're interested in visiting our youth drop-in center, The Dock, the address is 395 11th Street here in Astoria, Oregon. If you'd like to reach us at our advocacy center, our phone number is 503-325-5735.
My name is Morgan Schern. I am the on-call DSART advocate at the Harbor, along with the volunteer and outreach coordinator. My job as a volunteer outreach coordinator is to help find volunteers for different events or different things that we have going on at the Harbor, such as our youth program or anything that we need administrative-wise. We do have a few annual events that we also host that we need volunteers for. It's a really great way for somebody to come into the Harbor and really get to know what we do and understand how we work. Some volunteers can work with survivors as well once they finish the confidentiality training. It's really great to get our community involved and also for us to involve ourselves in the community as well. Mainly, I think where we really need some volunteer help would be in our youth program and definitely doing some outreach as we just started our youth program. So it'd be really great to go out and get some more youth involved. I mean, we're looking for everything. So as an on-call DSART advocate, I mainly work weekends and evening times, and we get a call from something called Call to Safety. And what they do is it could be the hospital, it could be the police station, but we'll get a call regarding a client or a survivor that really needs us to be there. And I think the great thing about being an on-call advocate is that we're in like the heat of the moment, basically, when they are in the height of their trauma. So I feel like our position is very, very important because we can offer resources, but mainly our job is to sit with them and be their emotional support and remind them that nothing that, you know, that they didn't do anything wrong, it's not their fault. And let's say the hospital calls, I pick up the phone, I get details. Sometimes we have to show up for a SANE exam and we sit with them through the SANE exam. A SANE exam is a sexual assault exam where basically they get a bunch of DNA. It's about a 3 to 4 hour process. And then they can take the DNA to the police station and turn it in. Because we are survivor-led, our survivors can choose to have them research that information more or not. Anybody can call at any time for the on-calls. It doesn't have to be the hospital. It doesn't have to be the police station. If you are in a domestic violence situation, you do not feel safe, our number is online. You can call that number. It calls Call to Safety, and then they call us. And then they will connect us with you. So we're basically talking to our survivor one-on-one and figuring out what's going on and using our best judgment on how to best help them in that situation. A lot of people aren't comfortable with calling the police, but what can end up happening is if they do call us first and we rush out the door to go help them, we can offer to be with them to call the police and we can help them get the police involved. But again, just being survivor-led, that's kind of their decision. I think it really just depends on the situation they're in and how bad it is. If they are doing a SANE exam, a lot of the times the police will show up to take a statement as well, but they can choose not to have that happen as well. I think honestly that I love this job so much in everything that I do because I set out to do my best in everything. I love being able to meet all the people that I get to meet and really get to know them. And honestly, a lot of them have the same background in what we help with. And so it's really amazing to hear their stories and how they came out of it too. And then being on call is awesome too, because I get to be in their story in that moment. And seeing as a lot of the people that work for the harbor have gone through a similar situation, we seem to connect on a different level with them. And it's amazing to know that we were able to help them when we didn't know we could get help. So we really put our whole heart and soul into the jobs that we do. I've been working for the harbor for a little over 6 months now. I've kind of done a lot in that 6 months, but I think what brought me is that I also came out of a domestic violence situation, and knowing that I could be help and knowing that I knew what to say in that situation to somebody because I needed somebody in that moment. And I couldn't find anybody. I didn't even know that anything like the harbor could be a resource. I didn't know that was even a thing, you know, and just knowing what I went through and how I pulled out of it and how I'm able to say, hey, like, this is going to be okay. You're going to be fine. And we're going to get through this together, and knowing that there's that support there to walk through it with you and that you're never alone. We are always looking for volunteers, always, always, in every subject, every topic, anything that we do at the harbor, we're looking for volunteers. Also, you know, just being a survivor, we have a really great team that's very understanding, and not to be afraid to call when you need the help. And we're here, and we're here 24/7. You can find our phone number and everything on our website. It's harbornw.org.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Johnson. I am the Director of Services for the Harbor. I primarily work with our advocates at the Advocacy Center, helping our folks who are fleeing or needing stalking orders, protection orders, court accompaniment, and we do a little bit of all kinds of different things over there. We recently just started a support group for survivors down at the dock, which is typically used for our youth space, but we are now starting to add some different things in, and we'll have that support group. We have a couple workshops coming up, and we are just kind of doing all kinds of different things. So all of the support groups at the harbor are free, and what our first support group's going to look like will be on March 3rd, and it'll be every Monday, the first Monday of the month. What we'll be doing is survivors will get to come in and have support from a licensed professional to start kind of letting go of some of their trauma. What I've seen a lot of the times, especially as being a dual diagnosis therapist, is that there's a lot of survivors who don't know how to set down some of their trauma. And a lot of the times I feel like they are carrying mountains that they were just kind of meant to climb. So what we do is I'm a firm believer in trauma littering, where we're able to kind of litter some of that trauma, be able to heal through it, grieve through it, process it, and kind of take it in more bite-sized pieces instead of having to unwrap everything at once and piece it back together. So we are fully survivor-led, and we also offer special space for our 2S LGBTQIA plus community, where we even have a specific team dedicated to our queer folks. And we also provide services typically once a month now at the Lower Columbia Q Center. And what we do is we hold that space specifically for teens that are part of the queer community to connect, have a safe space, and learn more about the community and resources that they may be needing. We also do a lot of prevention things throughout the schools, and we go and we present on safe relationships, what love looks like versus what it doesn't, what a healthy relationship is, and what that looks like, how to help our peers identify what is a healthy relationship and maybe when it's time to talk to somebody. We also have the Walk of No Shame coming up, which I'm really excited about, because with that walk, it's where we get together to really try to break and end the stigma together around the silence and shame of sexual violence or domestic violence. So that's going to be coming up very soon also. We do a lot of different workshops. One of my favorites right now is we're doing like a junk journaling workshop where maybe survivors don't feel comfortable talking or writing about their stories, but they're able to create and heal and tell their stories through maybe pictures and different kinds of things. So maybe they are using pictures from their past, they're finding things from books that they want to include to kind of heal in peace their story together and tell it visually. We have another workshop coming up where people are going to be doing art, and I believe that one's going to be pottery. So I think that will be really neat. And then we do different workshops with Tongue Point. And there we have somebody go, we have an advocate typically go, and then another advocate leads a group where they are doing art and all kinds of different things. It typically changes. So maybe one will be art, maybe one will be journaling or bullet journaling. Another at times will be just holding a talk space with maybe a guided feedback model. A big one that we use is the I see, I hear, I feel. And we're teaching them to use I statements when talking with each other, how to support each other through rough situations. We're teaching them how to actively listen to each other and really about the resources in our community that they can access, especially as youth, because as we know, we don't have too many things for youth. So we also 2 days a week have the doc space where youth who are aged 13 to 17 can go, they can play games, they can journal, they can watch a movie, all kinds of different things to just really connect with their community and their peers. I think that there's several experiences where people benefit from the harbor, and something that I really take a lot of pride in with the harbor is being able to help families in a transitional period when maybe they're fleeing, and being able to provide a safe and confidential space for them to heal and take back control of their lives again. So I would like to actually talk about a family. It was a mother and daughter who came in, and they both were experiencing violence and were really kind of at their end and needed to have relocation. So we were able to help them in a safe and confidential location, and we got them into permanent housing at the end of it, where we were able to have their rent paid for up to 2 years while they were able to heal and go to therapy and utilize community resources and just really rebuild their lives again from the trauma that they had experienced. And I think that was really wonderful to see them grow. And I mean, nobody comes in on their best days. So being able to support them in their time of need and see them grow and heal and find a home that's theirs and is safe, and to be able to bring their children where it's safe again. Sometimes I see families who have to be separated. And another thing that I really like about our space is we try to keep families together, whether it doesn't matter the age, gender, we keep them housed together. So whether it's in a mother-in-law suite or a unit, we don't separate families. And that's something that I really appreciate. So we do get updates on our survivors, and we actually contact them 3 months, 6 months, and usually 12 months just to see where they're at, how they're doing, make sure that they're not needing any services. And I think what's really great about that is we have a pretty high retention rate. So a lot of the times folks don't come back, because by the time that we have helped them from start to finish, they're fully connected in wraparound services. So whether that's medical, housing, dental, really whatever kinds of needs. And we typically don't have folks come back because we get them permanent housing. We don't just put a Band-Aid on it. We are here to kind of take that Band-Aid off and heal through what we're doing. And we make sure that they're fully connected really before we send them on their way. I really love the ease of access. It's as quick as one phone call. And then that's at any time. We have 24/7 services available with our on-call team. And so what happens is somebody can call and we connect them with an advocate immediately. So whether it's on the phone, if they want to come in, and again, we're all survivor-led. So we let them tell us, like, are you wanting a protection order? Are you needing shelter? Are you needing any of these services? And we kind of go through a list and help them get connected with what they need. And if we don't particularly offer a service of what they're asking for, we connect them in the community. So our advocates go through a 40-hour advocate training. And what that does is it gives us advocate privilege. So we're able to keep everything fully confidential. We're not mandatory reporters. So that also kind of sets us aside from some of the other things. So we're able to work with our undocumented folks and really all walks of life. We will try to help anyone and everyone. And that's kind of actually why we changed the name from the Women's Resource Center to just the Harbor, because we may have non-binary folks come in, or we also have men come in. We support all walks of life. So what that looks like is the process is still the same. We will do some paperwork, ask some questions, and then again, we figure out what services people are needing, and then that's where we connect them. So our shelter is for any gender, anything. And I think that's really a big thing. We work with trans folks, everyone. And then again, our advocates, we have a specific to us LGBTQIA advocate. We have a youth advocate. We have our bicultural, bilingual advocates. So there's help for anyone who comes through our door. I think really the biggest thing, and again, what we really do is really try to share the mission with everybody, and knowing that the Harbor is there to support people, and it's where violence ends and hope begins. And being able to let people know that just because this has happened doesn't mean that you can't move on and create a beautiful life for yourselves. And helping people see that we can still find beauty in some of those negative spaces while we heal and grieve. And letting them know that healing isn't linear. Things happen and we're able to still move past that, and we can conquer hard things together. We're here to end the stigma together, and we're here to end the shame and guilt around being a survivor. So I've been working with the Harbor now for actually a year next month. And what brings me to this work is being able to not only use my lived experience to guide people through navigating some of these challenges, especially in the community, but to kind of maybe be the person that I needed during my time of need that I didn't have, and being able to approach everyone with a trauma-informed approach where they feel heard and valued and respected, and I'm able to show them that this isn't something to be shameful about and that it's okay to restart, it's okay to rebuild at any moment of your life, and to let them know that they're not stuck and that there's always going to be a new day and that there's hope.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can find out more about the Harbor at harbornw.org. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking, you can contact their confidential 24-hour support line at 503-325-5735 or contact their office by email at info@harbornw.org. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon by me, Emma Geddes. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org.